I think this is cool. I feel like a cool girl, you know, when people ask me, you know, have you heard of that podcast? And I say, yes, I'm in it. I'm a cool girl, you know? Yeah, me and my cool friends are doing a podcast.
Hey, it's your girl Mandy, and you're listening to the 1 to 100 podcast, where we'll be talking to you about everything design related, shed some light on our personal experiences, and help you out in understanding the architecture realm. So I'm joined here today by Adonai, Bethany, Basma, Cindy, Naomi, and Ray. Say hello, girls.
Hey, guys, it's Adonai. I'm a part one architecture graduate. I'm taking a very much needed break from architecture right now, but I'm currently working at a school.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Basma, and I'm a part one architecture graduate as well. I'm currently seeking the apprenticeship route to becoming an architect. And in the meantime, I'm doing activism, charity work, and reviving my passion for painting.
Hey guys, I'm Bethany. I'm also a part one architecture graduate, and I'll be starting my architecture master's in September. This year, I've been designing, video editing, working on my music, and just, yeah, fueling my creativity. So that's me.
Hey, this is your girl Saint, aka Ghanaian Italian Ferragamo. I'm also part one student from architecture. Right now I'm taking a break from architecture, applying for masters, and just living my best artistic life.
Señorita.
Hola a todos, me llamo Naomi. I'm a part one architecture graduate, and I'm currently working as a drafter in central London.
What's good, guys? I'm Ray, and I also graduated alongside all these lovely ladies in architecture. I'm currently in the fine jewellery industry, working in London, and I'm going to be spending this coming year preparing myself for masters and getting back into the architecture industry.
My name is Amanda. I'm a project coordinator. I do like a lot of freelance graphic design. I really enjoy anything to do with the natural hair movement, so hairdressing, natural products, all of that kind of good. But I have really one important question for you girls. Why architecture? Why did you pick the course? What inspired you? But yeah, like, yeah, why architecture? I think we should start with Nomi, go ahead.
You know what it is, yeah? Low-key, I didn't even have a choice. I didn't even pick it myself. My dad told me, oh, so you like to draw in it, so that's it, do architecture, because architects make a lot of money. And yeah, so then I thought, yeah, why not? And that was pretty much it.
Yeah, I'm going to step into Naomi's boat because that was a similar situation for me. I feel like at first, when I was like 10 years old, I was like really into designing dresses and I wanted to be a fashion designer. And my dad was like, yeah, you're into this, you know, artistic stuff. Why don't you become an architect? So, and then leave the fashion designing for like a hobby kind of thing. And I was just like, you know what, why not?
Mine's really similar to Naomi in the sense that my dad was actually the person that introduced me to architecture.
It's always the dads.
And like, it's always the dads. They want some free.
An African, not an African.
It's just so they can have some nice house in their retirement.
For real. It's like, build me a house.
For real.
He told me about Zaha Hadid. I mean, at first she was like my favorite architect because she was actually the reason why I decided to do architecture. And then eventually that changed in terms of her being my favorite. You'll later find out who it is. But yeah, and also the fact that I felt like in the creative field, it was something that I could really tap into. And it engages with people in particular and shapes the world around us. And I wanted to be a part of that. And architecture's such a beautiful and huge profession that Mandy, can you stop? I know this is a podcast, but I'm seeing a lot of movement, which the viewers, thank God, don't have to see because.
Thank God for that, boy.
But yeah,
I'm in the dad gang. To be fair,
everyone's dad was on it.
For real, like I've never been one of those people who knew what they wanted to do. Even as a kid, you know how I was like, Mommy, I want to be a firefighter. I never knew. Obviously, I went to Barcelona one time. I was in the Sagrada Familia, and I was like, oh, this is pretty. Like, it's so beautiful in here. My dad's like, oh, maybe you should do architecture. I was like, yeah, no, I don't think so. I didn't really know what it was, to be honest. And it was until UCAS and everyone had an idea of what they were doing, I kind of reconsidered architecture. I was like, okay, maybe this is actually a combination of things that I actually enjoy doing. So I was like, I'll see how it goes. And yeah, I actually really enjoyed it when I did it. So thank the dads.
Just want to say as well, my dad, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, guided me through this choice since I was young.
Hallelujah.
You know, like, I never knew, but there was always a voice inside of my head saying, you know, building's art. So I was like, god damn, when it came to, and you know, choosing what to do in uni, I was like, there's no choice. Like, the choice was being made for me before I was even born. So that was it, literally. I've always wanted to do architecture since I was younger. And just everything to do with them, like how you feel when you're inside. And I remember the first time I came to London and I came out of the tube, came out from Oxford Street and saw all the buildings around. And I was like, I want to be able to make something like this building, make someone else feel like the way I felt when I saw all the buildings.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Yeah, architecture is the thing.
So poetic. Wow.
What do you expect from me? What do you expect? Oh, yes, yes, continue, please.
I was about the dad gang. I feel like my dad was somewhere in Ghana when I was deciding, but I picked architecture. In fact, I actually don't know, because I was going to pick fine art, and then I thought, you know what, that's not going to make me any money. I won't lie to you. Like, I'm just going to become a deadbeat artist with loads of acrylic paintings. So I was like, I need something that's actually going to...
Nah, you're rude, bro.
I just didn't think I was going to make it in the industry. Not to say artists didn't make it, I just didn't think I was going to make it. I was like, I need something that's going to financially sustain me. Also, I just realised I love designing things, not specifically buildings. I was more of like a product design type of girl, so I was thinking about like fashion, interior design, even product design. And then I went to go and do like my foundation course, and it really like kind of put everything together. So I decided, actually, I'm gonna go into interior architecture, because I feel like that has like all the elements, all the nooks and crannies, and like, all of the things and the things, you know what I mean? Let's go into something a little bit more in depth.
Something a bit personal. Personal.
I just want to know, like, what did you guys think of each other the first time you met, you know?
Well,
Trust CCTV, Busak, to start. Go on.
The sacks will start today.
Yes, man.
I feel like I met everyone at different times throughout the year. And, like, throughout first year, and then Cindy in second year. The first person I met was Bethany, and we connected because we were short. It was on the first day. It was like our induction day, I think.
Yeah.
And then we connected from there, but then eventually, I think it was also because we were in different units, and
I got separated from the rest.
We got separated, and then we eventually reunited. But no, we clicked like on the first day, which is amazing. And then Naomi was in my unit. So what was interesting was that in the first semester, we weren't as close. In the second semester, we grew. And I think it was also because our project started to become more teamwork based. And then from there, I met Mandy. And actually, I think I have the video of the first time we met, which was when
Basma, of
course. You and Blanca, shout out Blanca.
Basma is CCTV, like.
Yeah, you guys were making a model. I think it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and we were just like playing music, and I don't even know, but it was just too funny. Like, and then Cindy, well, also Adonai as well. I think Ad and I was also in the same, she was in a different unit space. I feel like we just suddenly seemed to like form a group and develop friendships from there.
I always used to laugh. I always still laugh at Adonai's, like, Adonai's facial reactions to everything. I'm just dying at how Cindy's dying, but he's muted.
Oh my god, you always catch up my facial expressions. It's so bad.
And then with Cindy, we met in second year because Cindy's was in the year above us. And she just, like, came into my unit space and started dancing. And, like, literally, and also because you're also mutual friends with Mandy. And I feel like we just all connect in that same way. We all have the same sense of humor. And we just laugh at everything. Like, and I feel like that's how we also connected. We just brought, like, positivity into a course that is so stress you out and put you into such a dark place. And you guys really, like, brought so much light into this course and my entire experience in architecture. So take it away, guys.
Plasma finished the podcast.
There you go.
See what you guys can do now.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
I want to do my first impression of Cindy. Cindy is probably the biggest character here. Okay. So I met Cindy in first year. I don't know why this American accent always comes out, okay? But I met Cindy in first year, and this girl is just something else. So how I knew, she was the year above, by the way, and I knew her through my buddy, which was her best friend, Delphina, shout out to her. And I just remember Cindy in the studio just, I don't know, she was always being herself, being a wild child, just being mad. Like, one of the first conversations, I'm not even going to go through everything because I don't even know if she remembers this, but yeah, one of them was definitely when you asked me, like, oh, do you think I look like a lesbian? But yeah, Cindy was just like a character. She had so much energy to her. I absolutely loved it. Just dancing, asking for my pens and not returning them for 3 days, maybe a week actually, but we love her.
I'm so happy you brought that up because third year.
Nah, you see the way I know Basma is about to snake me. Go on, go on.
Okay guys, basically in third year, me and Cindy were in the same unit. Shout out Unit D. Yeah, this girl, I just remember clearly, she would borrow my pen and then I'd ask for it back. She'd be like, you did give me a pen. And it was just a back and forth. And I was like, you know, I let it go because it's Cindy. But
the thing is that that is such a me thing. Like, I'm not even surprised. Do you know how many people spend I have, like, bruv? Because, you know, I have, like, a short-term memory, innit? So I take it, and plus I never slept. Like, the whole 3 years I was in uni, I never slept. So man would just forget things, you get me? Because I was tired. I was tired. Forgive me.
Because in these pencil case, you're just going to find pencils from around the world.
All of, like, them with no lids as well, so they're dry pens.
You'd find, I don't even know, like, it was some treasure.
This is not Snake Cindy Day, please. Let's hold on.
Donai, let's have your first impressions of everyone.
So my first impressions, I feel like I was quite, wasn't in the main kind of studio, I was in like another part of the studio with Ray, but the first person I actually met was Bethany. So we were sitting next to a mutual friend, and then I saw her and I was like, oh my gosh, there's another black girl. And I was like, I've got to get to know her. And then I feel like we just connected just like that. And I think even like on the same day, I went to her accommodation. And yeah, from then on, like, everyone knew me and Bethany as like always being together.
I don't know, you were fast. Same day. You couldn't wait one day.
Wait your turn, okay? Wait your turn. And then I saw Amanda and Naomi and Jess, another one of our friends, together. To literally, you three just look like the mean girls.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, I think I was just like,
I probably had just a resting bitch face.
And I just wanted to like get to know you guys, but yeah, you guys did not seem approachable. So I was just like, yeah, let me just keep to my side. But I feel like eventually I got to know you guys and we like hit off. And then I met Cindy through Bethany. I think Cindy was just being that wild child in the studio. I mean, like, no one, you can't not see Cindy. Like, she makes herself known. Like, she is a personality. And I feel like I love her for that because it definitely got us through uni, like, having that person that is always, like, encouraging you. Even when she's sad, she somehow makes she makes you laugh in the weirdest times. Like, I remember there was one time this girl was literally dying, like, as in she needed her asthma pump, but why she's making jokes? And then I met Bazwa actually in first year. She doesn't remember this, but I think I must have been like, oh my gosh, you've got such nice eyelashes. And I was like, oh my gosh, your eyelashes are so long. And she was like, oh yeah, you just match. It's just I have natural.
I never said that.
Yes, yeah, you did. Okay, that's the thing. That's why I said you won't remember. But you were like, oh, we can go out to town together. And yeah, that's literally how I met everyone.
Thank God for my eyelashes then, because I met Adonai through them.
Like, honestly, I feel like our experiences would be so different if we hadn't met each other. I feel like that's so, obviously we're going to talk about this in a later episode, but the importance of studio culture is just mad. Like, the people you meet and the people that you kind of like basically your support group is you, those are your guys, like your guys. But yeah, so those were a few of our like first impressions.
I feel like, to me personally, my experience of getting to know you guys all was so surreal, because in my second year, I met Bethany and Adonai in their studio. Like, it was late night. And I don't know, apparently I asked if I was a lesbian, which is probably possible, but I don't remember. As I told previously, I'm always tired, innit? So I met them, and then Bethany was doing cartwheels, and I was like, she's a BLB, you know, she's a bit active, innit? Then I thought Adonai was Ghanaian, innit? So I was like, yeah, that's my Ghanaian sister, innit? So boom, bash, bish, bash, bosh, innit? Then in the second year, so I repeated my second year because I failed because I was busy partying. So when I got my life together, I met Amanda through Adonai. And then me and Amanda, I like her. She said she's gone here. She got a bit of a vibe. But we didn't get close until Amanda nearly died. And she asked me to go to the hospital with her. And we bonded when we were waiting in A&E. And it was so nice, such a lovely night. But this is a story for another day. So that's how me and Amanda bonded. Then I met Naomi through Amanda. And we got along. They ended up living together.
Actually, I thought you hated me when I first met you.
You did.
Yeah. Do you know what? I didn't hate you.
There was a little bit of friction.
I didn't hate you, but... I didn't understand your personality, innit?
I just thought, I was like, this girl.
I didn't understand your personality, innit?
Do you get me now?
Yeah, definitely. We ended up living together for a year, so I loved it. Then I met Basma through Naomi, because Naomi and Basma were in the same unit, and Basma used to laugh at everything. Like, I could bust a joke from the other side of the studio and just hear Basma laughing. And I was like, this girl's a happy girl. I like it. You know, she's a bit of me. I liked it. Then I met Ray through Brad. Shout out to Brad Bespoke. And we just bonded because she was just quirky and I liked her style, the way she dressed, and I loved it. So that's how I met everyone.
This man has been laughing from the other side of the world for so long. But like I said, I'm so happy that I met you guys, and I'm so happy that we managed to kind of create these first impressions and have them as like lasting impressions. Let's talk about the architecture side of things. So what kind of like style of architecture, just for the people that are listening, are you most interested in? Because I guess that's essentially how we're gonna formulate some of our episode, is based on what we're interested in. So does everyone want to kind of like touch on roughly like the type of architecture maybe they want to go into or they're most interested in? Or
I really love, so my family's from Spain and the architecture there is really diverse because of Spanish history. You know, you had the Roman Empire, you had the Moorish Empire and some other like Aboriginal like architecture and things there. And it's just so full of culture that I really, that there's so many different elements and aspects that really blend very well together. So out of all of them, I do find Moorish architecture really, I think it's so gorgeous and so beautiful. It's definitely something I'm really into, the very typical like Spanish houses that they have, courtyards that you also see in kind of like Morocco, that is quite adjusted to the climate. So also very, you know, that harmonizes really well with its environment and climate. So I think personally, I have loads of different styles that I kind of like from each. But that one's definitely one. I think I am a little bit more minimalistic in the way I design and the way I like things. I like simplicity, but also very functional and yeah, just kind of like very creative. It's a little bit, I think it really depends like what country it's in, because like whenever we were doing design projects, most of them were kind of based, well, I had one based in Ireland or kind of like UK based, and the weather here is very different, so the design is going to be very different because the climate is just not the same. I prefer hotter countries, personally. But yeah, that's definitely a style that I'm really interested in. What I would really like to get into, because I do think it's really important for, you know, the future, and I think this is the direction that our culture is going in, is sustainable architecture and like, yeah, green and renewable architecture, using reusing materials, reusing yeah, energy and things like that. So that's definitely the direction I want to head in. But along the way, I do really appreciate what's it called? Is it vernacular? Yeah, like vernacular architecture. Vernacular. I know. Shout out to Andrea.
Shout out to Andrea, boy. The vernac.
I feel like I like a bit of everything. I feel like when, especially when you do study architecture, you're fortunate enough to go to different countries for your different trip. And I feel like going to like Spain, Italy, they have like their unique architectural style. So yeah, like I wouldn't say I have like a favorite style. I just know what I like when I see it. But yeah, I'm quite similar to Naomi. I quite like minimalist design and modernism. And yeah, I think that's what I like. For me, I'm very much, let's say, an advocate for the people. And I'm laughing because someone like Bethany, she would know that I'm all about community and just like getting people involved in the architectural process. And I really do like bricks. Like, I feel like in my designs, like, you would just always see bricks. So you can add that too.
That was coming.
I do want to just add that I really don't like glass buildings. Sorry, just add, I don't know if anyone else shares that thing, but there's too many in the city. Like, I don't like it.
Yeah. I don't like vertical, very vertical buildings.
Very phallic.
No. I was dying to say that word. I just know it. I don't like tall buildings. I don't see, they're just so antisocial.
Yeah, I think it kind of covers like the skyline, and then you can't even see like the shape of the landscape is a little, I don't know, I just
feel like humans are not designed, we're not designed to interact in a way that, I don't know, like that we're sort of stacked on top of each other.
What if I want to be stacked as well?
Do you get what I mean? Like, there needs to be a meeting place, and I feel like with very tall buildings, there isn't that, and I feel humans are at the center of architecture. So if you're designing structures that generates a sense of antisocial behavior, that's where they fail. And with my favorite architecture in particular is humanitarian, and I think is an area of architecture that's not explored much, and is what I really want to get into in the future. I was first introduced to humanitarian architecture through, I think it was in second year,
Do you remember when we all had to make, I think it was actually first year, we all had to make a model of a famous building, and our one was The Naked House by Shigeru Ban. But that particular project wasn't, that was more like a private, it wasn't humanitarian architecture, but from there I started to learn more about his projects and how he would use ecologically sound building materials such as cardboard tubes and paper to build temporary housing after, because he's from Japan, so a lot of the buildings sensitive to earthquakes. So the ability to design buildings that are affordable and quickly made to respond to such disasters is so important, and I felt it was, it's complete genius, and he came up with that. So I felt like that was really important. And also, as everyone said, how having designing buildings that are very responsive to the environment as well is really important, and I feel like a lot of firms have jumped into that wave as well. But yeah, that's what I'm really interested in.
I like that,
and I like how you use your project to shape your interests. Like, I think that's really inspiring.
I like buildings with, I like spaces. I like a building that I would go in with like, oh my God, I know exactly where I'm going to find inside. Then you go in and you're like, God damn, that ain't what I expected. Surprise. I like that. I like this whole, I like to feel something when I enter into a building. So like, I couldn't express that. Like, I just like that it makes me feel something. Just to say, I really like Peter Zumthor's buildings, the atmosphere they create. It makes me feel something great. I like Le Corbusier's building because there's characters and makes me feel some type of way. In terms of architecture, that I, in terms of studying architecture, I really enjoyed the sharing. I enjoyed the sharing of different people, the sharing of ideas, sharing of atmospheres, the sharing of backgrounds. But yeah, there's so many people I've met from different backgrounds, so different things, and it's just amazing. Like, I would have never met so many different type of people if I didn't go to uni, and especially I don't think if I didn't study architecture as well. So I mean, I'm very grateful for that experience. I'm grateful for the people that I've met. I'm grateful for the things that I've learned, the support that I got. And you know, architecture has definitely been a life experience, and just glad it is done. You know, I'm just glad it's done, because when it was in, it was hard, very hard, very, very hard. So if you're going into it, just know that it is lovely, but it's hard. Okay? Okay, everyone?
It's okay.
Architecture is not a joke.
It's actually okay.
It's not a joke, I repeat. For the ones at the back.
I'm going to pick up upon a few things that you guys have already mentioned, but Cindy was talking a lot about kind of spaces and spatial architecture, especially with like Peter Zumthor and just designs that really accentuate the journey through the buildings. When you know there's been like a lot of thought towards the spaces and how you travel, I really like spatial design in that sense. And also, I'm a really big fan of like materiality. Just so, analyze brick here. Like, so anything that really kind of does something unique with the materials, especially natural materials. So someone I really love as an architect is Kengo Kuma, and he's a Japanese architect, and he just does some amazing things with timber and wood. It's just like, oh my gosh, how do you even get that out of the material? And just to kind of be innovative, even with some of the simplest materials, and really use that also sustainably. And he's done a lot of innovation around that side, and it looks beautiful. So yeah, that's one of the few things I'm interested in terms of architecture.
Definitely loves her timber.
Loves the timber buildings, boy. I think for me, I love like to have a building with purpose, literally building for the people, not specifically by the people, sorry. But for people, 100%, I love spaces that, you know, have been informed by the community that it was meant for, rather than, so I firmly believe that housing projects should have a huge influence by the people who are going to be living in these spaces. I think the type of style of architecture I really love is interior architecture, obviously, shout out to Andrea, but it's because people have such a vague definition of what it is. It's really interesting. Like, a lot of people assume that interior architecture is interior design. and people assume that interior design is interior decorating. So it's just very, it's very like fascinating to see how a lot of people interpret it. But essentially the way I have been taught interior architecture, which may not be the way everyone has been taught it, is that interior architecture is architecture that evokes different spatial experiences. It doesn't even mean that it needs to be inside. So a lot of the projects that we had whilst learning interior architecture in second or third year, we were given a building, and essentially it's almost like you strip if you stripped everything away from the building and kind of made something new, what would you have? That is basically what interior architecture is. Almost like having the skeleton of that building and forming something brand new based on either your client or the community or the people or person that is formed, which is just, it's so amazing because everybody comes up with something completely different based on how they see the building or how they see the people. It's really, really cool in that respect, but I don't think it's like appreciated in a lot of firms. If companies knew what it was, if architects knew what interior architecture was, I feel like a lot more interior architecture graduates would be employed. But, you know, it is what it is at this point, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, definitely timber, like Bethany, I think it's so versatile. Good to kind of keep somewhere warm in the winter and also keep it cool in the summer.
I definitely agree with the fact that there needs to be more like specialized architects like in particular areas.
Yeah, it's a really big
such a field. Big industry.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's so valuable to have people that actually go deeper into a particular area of architecture. And the internal part of a structure is where the majority of like interactions occur. And if you don't really grasp that, then everything kind of falls apart. So I feel like interior architecture really needs to be brought into light a lot more and introduced more. Like, so I 100% agree with that.
Can I add a quick question? Mm-hmm. Do you guys design from like the outside in or the inside out?
What do you mean exactly?
Mommy, I hate you.
So obviously, like, some people have kind of like an idea what it look like, the building looks like from the outside, and then work kind of like their way in. So some people start with like mass modeling how it looks on the street, do you know what I mean, or how it looks in on site, and then some people kind of start with designing
the inside. Like form follows function or function follows form?
Yeah, because some people, like, I remember thinking when I started designing in like first year, I think I did outside in, and then by second, third year, I did inside out. I would start kind of like function and what like the space is kind of used for, and then think, and then I wouldn't really bother like what it looked like on the outside.
Mine was similar to that of Rach, I think. I'm more inside out. Obviously, you'll kind of, as you're going along, you'll think about the outside, but I definitely thought about the inside more. I was thinking, okay, who are my users? What is the journey that they take through the building that I'm designing? Like, what spaces will I need here? Okay, and then this space will lead to this space. And that's how I kind of got the massing of the plan first. And then from that, I think I began to design the external facade that would look like. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I think I'm kind of the same, you know? But do you know what? At a certain point in third year, I had to be from the outside in because my buildings were looking clapped. Like, I can't even lie. I was like, this is so... I can't admit this. It looks so simple. And I feel like in architecture, you get so intimidated because people come up with these crazy designs, and mine was so functional that was ugly. Do you know what I mean? It was not aesthetically pleasing. So I had to kind of look at designs that were, I guess, more, maybe that was the wrong way to do it, but I just thought, like, I felt like there was so much competition that I needed to make it stand out.
I realized actually, like, one of the projects I did, I kind of started with the structure, which is kind of a weird, I guess that is the form in a way, but it was a weird place to start. But that meant my building actually stood up, and then I kind of fit the spaces around that. But it was because it was quite a complex structure, and it was like lattices interlocking and all of that. But yeah, there's lots of ways to design, but I feel like you shouldn't just focus on one. Don't just focus on doing your design in plan. Look at it in your section and in your 3D and see how the spaces will actually be as a whole as well.
Yeah, because I remember like kind of going through it, I'd always kind of end up neglecting one, or one would definitely be weaker than the other, depending on basically how I started So I was just wondering, like, what you guys did, because I know some people still design kind of like outside in, you know, kind of like street view, how like it looks like from the outside, and then accommodate people to the interior. But I think that's kind of backwards.
The way I do it is like it's a journey. So you're like, you're someone walking past that building, and then your journey through from outside. I'm not saying outside in, because you could be inside the building and go out of it, but it's more like how your journey would go through that building. And also you have to think of the context, you need to think of the history. There's so much that involves designing a building that you can't just plop a form onto a plot of land and then try and shape it. It's sort of a mixture of both, really.
I think it also depends on your design unit. Everyone has a different approach. Like you were saying, some people start from like the spaces and then kind of shape their building according to the spaces and then the functions. And some people work from like a form, and then some people work from the context. Whatever works for you, like, go with it. But then I feel like it is important to look at the section, look at the plan, look at the 3D form to like really get an understanding of what you're working with.
Everything plays an important part in the project in general. You can't really have a functional building if it doesn't fit in with the landscape, for example. You can't have a functional building if it's not aesthetically pleasing to the consumer as well. Like, it's not, I mean, it's still functional, but I guess it's not, it doesn't meet the brief. So like Danai said, I think it really depends on what your unit is, and units are also representative of firms. I can't really remember who I was talking to this about. The way your firm approaches a specific project, in essence, the way you will approach a project, it really informs everything that you do and the ways that you act, unless you're kind of working in a smaller practice whereby your decisions are a lot more informed in the whole decision making. Yeah.
I feel like it's also important for us to define what a unit is, just for those who want to go into architecture. And each year you're split into different units, and each of those units have a different brief, different location, project basically. You have like two tutors within those units, and with our university, the second years and third years will be together in each of those units. And the tutors, each tutor has actually a different design like methodology. And so sometimes that often influences the way students would design their projects. And so that's why, like, eventually when someone jumps from one unit to another, so from second year to third year, you learn different ways of designing. And so this is why this question that Naomi has like posed to us gives so many different answers, because there's actually not really one answer. You could go on forever talking about what's the right way to design a building. But I think it all starts from honoring the brief, the context, and getting people involved. So not just as a firm, you need to work collaboratively with the world around you.
We were talking about this earlier, what sort of architecture our countries are most famous for. It actually turns out this is a bit of a sticky one. Really? The kind of premise or the style of architecture has not really existed for a very long time, so it's really difficult to find some information about it. I guess I'll go into Bethany, because I guess you had the most interesting explanation on why, I mean, things were the way they were.
Yeah, so my country of ethnic origin is Jamaica. interesting actually to research into architecture within Jamaica, because I've never actually really looked into it before, to be honest. I was born here in the UK, so yeah, it's been really interesting. And just following on from what Mandy was talking about in terms of it being hard to actually know what the architectural style of our home countries is because of colonialism, and it's almost left like no trace of what their style may have been, because even the vernacular, it is still very much influenced by, well, for Jamaica specifically, there was the time where they were under rule by the Spanish monarchs, like late 1400s, 1500s, and after that, the English took over and colonized. They brought over a lot of slaves from Africa to the country. So when you live in Jamaica, a lot of the architecture is actually Georgian, and it's just been adapted to fit the climate. There are elements from the Spanish Spanish that came over and colonized them at the time. And so you see a lot of colonial plantation houses, and even within the Jamaican vernacular, that does have more of its own style, but you see other influences within it as well. Yeah, I think it's only more recently where architecture is becoming slightly more established in Jamaica that you are getting more Jamaican architects. Just a random fact, if you wanted to know, the first female architect in Jamaica and the whole of the Anglo-Caribbean was this woman called Verma Panton, who actually graduated from a university in Quebec in Canada.
Wow, that's a
yeah, but from what I looked at, it's really difficult to find a lot about Jamaicans and the architects and the architecture there.
It's so surprising that, like, obviously it was so like easy to find her name just like that, but now I'm happy for you, man. Happy shout out to Jamaica though. And Bethany, you're the next one, I'm not gonna lie. You need to make it up there first.
Real. Your research is interesting. It's actually interesting.
Dirty Bears.
Hello.
Wait, what did you just call me? I can't believe I responded to that. Like, wow, the disrespect. Anyway, I'm Moroccan. Born in the UK. My parents are Moroccan. My mom's from up north. My dad's down south. So growing up, I'd visit Morocco like almost every year. And obviously it's a whole different world there. Morocco is a huge melting, mixing pot of culture and history of successive waves of settlers through both migration and military conquests, which massively influences architecture. And our religion, Islam, also has a large part in shaping our built environment. So through like geometric designs and calligraphy like etched into the walls. So our design and style construction actually carried through beyond our borders to southern Spain, which Naomi actually touched upon earlier, and developed Moorish architecture. So if you guys have been to Granada and visited the Alhambra, which is actually one of my favorite places. And the first time I visited there was with Naomi. With my unit in second year.
It was mad. So beautiful.
I 100%, like, literally the moment this corona situation is over, I want to fly back there again.
Honestly, like, my mom said that apparently the sultan, because it was his palace, said that he cried when, you know, the Spanish reconquered that region and kicked them out, because obviously, like, he was in love with that palace, which is, like...
It's so heartbreaking, because, like, obviously you go there and think those sort of structures won't be built again, and the history there.
It's so important to, like, preserve those kinds of buildings, because it says so much, because... Sorry to kind of go off of what, you know, you were saying,
no,
but...
No, it's really important.
But Spain was actually a Muslim kingdom for more than 700 years, which is a long time. So... all of that influence, and the amazing thing is that I don't feel like it's been eradicated. Like, you see it everywhere. And Spanish architecture, yeah, it'd been through a lot. I kind of said it earlier, you know, they had the Roman Empire, I think, which came first, and then the Moorish Empire. And you can see both. And as you travel through Spain, the north is very different from the south. The east and the west have very different styles, especially in Andalusia, which was the old kingdom of El Andalus, which was kind of the capital of the Moorish Empire at the time. They kind of almost, like, once they reconquered that region of Spain, printed the Christian, you know, mark, you know, that kind of Christian style of architecture. Very,
yeah, you kind of see, like, through the architecture that there's... Yeah, it reminds me of the mosque and church in...
La Mezquita in Cordoba.
Yeah.
Which is somewhere else, something.
Yeah, we're literally taking you around the world, guys.
I feel like our two kind of, like, the culture is really, really linked, which is really, I don't know, I think it's kind of special.
100%.
And it's basically, like, Spain and Morocco are basically kissing. Like, if you look at it on the map, like, it's such a short jump between... Yeah. You know, Europe and Africa.
Well, honestly, like, just with Morocco, like, what attracts people to this day to visit my country and strengthens our tourism is that many of the buildings have remained unchanged. So, like, the vernacular remains. I feel like vernacular is such a big word that we've used this whole
podcast, but I think it's because we've all come from cultures where that's the type of architecture that's mostly still present. Mm. And in for instance, like, there's so many rules in place to protect the nature of our architecture and preserve its history. So for instance, in Marrakesh, you don't actually see many high buildings because they have this height restriction where you can't build any higher than the Qutubiyya, which is the mosque in at the center of Marrakesh. So which is really interesting how certain countries, like, you know, like Morocco, really want to, it's like architecture is the main driving force of its tourism, and I'm so proud about that's my story. Welcome to my story.
Wow, that's when I finished the second episode of the podcast. That's number three. No, I didn't get it. No, but that's so nice to see that you know so much about.
You're taking a
piece.
No!
I did warn you guys. I did warn you.
I told you that. Wow.
Yo! Like, to see that you know so much about your country and you're so enthusiastic about it. I wish that uni as well, we were able to like express some of this into our own projects, but I guess there wasn't really enough like, wiggle room to like do that. So, but yeah, Donai, come and make us proud.
I really don't understand why I have to carry the whole Ghana. Yeah, so I feel like the story behind Ghana is quite similar to Bethany, as Ghana was colonized by the British. So most of the architecture there is, it's very hard to like find the rawness of Ghana's traditional architecture, but I think there is like a few buildings that are still using the raw materials such as the wood and the mud, but most of the buildings there have been left behind. Many landmarks were left behind by the British, and these are all under the Victorian kind of styles. So if you go to Ghana now, you'll see like the slave castles and the forts that were the place where they kept the slaves. But yeah, even like post-colonialism, the architectural style, it has been very much influenced by the British. So yeah, it's really hard to like find a building that represents Ghana because everything's been influenced by everything, which is quite sad. But when I was researching it, it goes to show architecture is shaped by the people who are there. And unfortunately, the people who were there didn't really get a say in their architectural style. So yeah.
For sure. And just to kind of like add on to what Adonai said, the people that influenced the current architecture style in Ghana, because it is evolving, as we're like, architecture does not always stay the same. So the evolving architecture in Ghana is not necessarily by Ghanaian people, which is, I don't know if that's like, I don't know if it's sad or if it's just a bit strange. Like, it happens, it's happening with every country. I don't think we can actually, I don't really think a lot of countries have their own identity anymore, you know,
that's true.
British identity is us, do you know what I mean? We are British identity, so, do you know what I mean? So I think in terms of the way architecture is evolving in these countries is literally based on probably the top 1% of the world. Like, those are the people that shape the architecture. Like, we are the people that shape the architecture in every single country rather than the people that actually live there. And also because things are becoming so much easily, so much more accessible in terms of like communication, in terms of like styles, in terms of even having face-to-face interactions, people are able to see things at their disposal. So for example, if I design a project now, it could have very easily been influenced by a project in China. Do you know what I mean? But we could have never been to China before. So I think the styles are coming, like, become so intertwined that nothing is actually original.
Yeah, it's the international style. I think that's what they call it.
Yeah.
The sort of globalization and what you're saying, just everything being so much more accessible and being able to take things. You're not in your own bubble, so you can easily see something and be like, okay, I like that. And then everything kind of becomes alike, like homogeneous kind of thing.
Architecture-wise, what do you think the world will look like in 50 years?
Well, I was hoping for flying cars, but we're still here, aren't we?
We're still on the ground.
I'm looking kind of hopeful that, you know what, especially with this whole pandemic, that people are really appreciating. I think things are really going to dramatically change after this. And people are really appreciating what, first of all, where they live and how they live. For example, I think a lot more people now are going to be looking for houses with gardens, outside spaces, parks nearby, things like that. Because, yo, the people that are living in estates and flats, like, I don't know how many children, I feel like they're probably really willing to move. And a lot more people have taken the time to take care of themselves. So I really do honestly feel like offices might be a thing of the past. I don't know how much so, but I think by significantly, I feel like maybe things would even change to the point where, you know, the majority of time you're working from home and you'd probably only go into the office maybe, you know, a couple of days in the week. But I feel like offices will probably shrink in sizes. There wouldn't be so many. Yeah, but I do honestly think that people will probably start taking care of the environment and probably taking that more seriously, because now, you know, people got cleaner air. The pollen, I don't know. I feel like the pollen hasn't been that strong this year. So.
Some people here are dying. I barely opened my eyes without crying.
No, but last year the pollen was mad.
I'd hope that in 10 years everything 50. Is just going to be more green, more ecological. I hope many companies and many architects will start using renewable energy such as solar panels to build. I think it's very important, because me personally, I think global warming is a thing. It's happening, and I think more architects come in and should focus on that and should really be advocates for that, and use the education that has been given to us to create a major change. I think, to me, architecture is about people, is about creating emotions, is about creating a space effectively so that it can be used. I think architecture should also develop with the needs of what the world, and the world, I think right now, needs a world that is green. It needs people to be aware of global changes and global warming, what's happening. So I think, I hope in 10 years, we are just going to be building more green buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah, you agree?
Exactly. I was just saying that as part of like actual building regulations and stuff at the moment, the government's been pushing. Have you heard about like the 2050 climate regulations?
Yeah. Enlighten
them. The Green Deal.
So architects are supposed to be working in line to that goal, to reach that. So we'll see if that actually happens.
It's a lie!
Because it's a bit hard. If I remember correctly, something like hydrogen heating and how you effectively heat your homes, all of that kind of thing is going to change if you want to actually save the climate.
Yeah, I really hope it does change.
Well, yeah, I think
it needs to, otherwise the world is going to melt. So we don't have this.
Yeah, I think another thing that will also change is like spaces. I think they will learn how to have more adaptable spaces, because like if you look at how they changed the Excel Center into like another hospital space, you're like, they'll definitely learn how to utilize places and spaces.
Cities will change dramatically, because the amount of people that kind of stopped using their cars and started riding their bikes, more bike lanes.
Yeah.
For sure. And I think because of the way that cities are kind of like I think those planners do it, it's kind of like very very focused on the driver, and like they basically build bare roads. Like, we've got so many roads, and then like houses and other public spaces kind of around those roads. And for example, like in Central Croydon, they've kind of like blocked one of the roads that was kind of through the heart of like the high street, and they basically just turned it into a public space. And I think it works better. I don't know. It's a little bit empty now, obviously, because no one's out. But I think they might be doing more things like that, and I think it'll be a good thing, because yeah, we need more outdoor spaces to like hang out.
Definitely. I feel like that's definitely something for like the listeners to think about. Think about outdoor spaces, think about what the world will look like in 50 years time, and how, if you're an aspiring architect, how you could influence that decision too. Or if you're an architect, how you could influence that, because you know you better be adhering to those rules that the government be implying, know what I'm saying? So I guess just to like wrap things up, I mean, I guess we kind of spoke about where we all currently are. So we're all graduates and we're all in this kind of like limbo period of, I guess, either being in the industry, or if we're in the industry, then aspiring to be an architect or some kind of designer. What are you all hoping to get out of the podcast? Like, is it something you want to learn, or like, what do you want to get out of this?
I'm just trying to be me. Not me.
Girls, I'm just gonna go step in and go first and just say, I just wanna let people know that there are people here asking questions, and this is a place for discussion. You know, we're discussing things. We're not trying to advise. We're not trying to tell you what to do. We're not trying to say we are right or we're wrong. We're sharing experiences, and hopefully that can inspire someone, that can give advice to someone, that can give you a little bit of anticipation to what to expect if you go into architecture. This can be also a place where people doing architecture can, you know, be like, yeah, oh my God, me too, me there, me three, you know, can... to, you know, see the experiences that they experienced in their unis as well. You know, we are all different people here sharing laughter, experiences and information, valuable information for everyone. So me personally, I just love this podcast because we can be, as Naomi said, ultimately ourselves and still share important information. So I'm just glad that I can do this with my friends. You know, because it's amazing to have such talented girls and do something so cool. I think this is cool. I feel like a cool girl, you know, when people ask me, you know, have you heard of that podcast? And I say, yes, I'm in it. I'm a cool girl, you know. Yeah, me and my cool friends are doing a podcast. You want to join? No, you're not allowed. I'm joking. But yeah, I feel this is great. This is great. This is great, especially coming from such different backgrounds, different experiences. Although we went to the same uni, we each individually have a different experience of the course. So having that and putting everything together, wow, what a fantastic thing. Yeah. I am blessed to be working with you guys. And with that, I'm out. Bye.
You encapsulated that so well. Do you even need to say anything else?
Yeah, for real.
Like, literally, she said it all.
Yeah, she really did.
I definitely feel this podcast is, like, it's a lot to do with self-discovery. And I feel like our journey doesn't end, like, as in when our journey is still going and it's ongoing. And it's so important to reflect about our past. And through that, it's you're helping others, you know, discover their own journey and realize that they're not alone in, you know, the troubles that they're facing or would possibly be facing in the future if they are to study architecture. But also, like, there's so much enjoyment in the profession and the industry, so there's that beautiful balance between both. And with our, like, future special guests, I'm obviously, like, really excited to learn more about the different areas within our industry and how this world will eventually evolve, as we've, like, previously discussed, with, you know, like, how the world would eventually change in architecture.
Wonderful.
I guess for me, what I want to get out of this podcast, like Cindy was saying, like, it's actually a discussion. Like, I don't really try to be an expert. Like, in fact, like, I'm actually quite oblivious to a lot of things that are happening in the architecture realm. And so I think this is such a good way to answer the questions that everybody wants answers to. I feel like that was one of the things that definitely popped up in, like, one of our, like, little team discussions, is that how are we going to approach this podcast? Are we going to have to, like, research the whole of architecture, or are we going to, like, kind of, you know, just be ourselves and, like, almost, I guess, play dumb in quotation marks, but it's not even playing. Sometimes it just be like that, you know, but I think, yeah, just get the answers to the questions that people around the same stage of the journey that they're at, they have those questions answered. Wow, I'm actually waffling. They have the answers to those questions too. So yeah, I just hope that for somebody this is inspiring, for someone that they can see, or you guys can see, that you're not alone in the journey that you're going through, and we're all just as confused as each other. But I hope that, yeah, in doing this podcast, that we can break down those barriers, stop the confusion, and be where we're meant to be. We've got to be the architects. We need to get rid of that 1% of Black female architects and make it at least 10, and then 20, and then 100.
100.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, yeah, this podcast is great. I feel like it really relieves, like, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like every time we speak about certain things, I'm just like, oh, that actually felt really good to talk about, but I didn't know that I actually wanted to talk about it, or I actually needed to talk about it. So,
you know what I think it is? I think because when studying architecture, everyone wants to think that they're smart and they know everything. And I feel like now we're finally having, like, honest conversations where we're kind of like, you know what, I don't know. But, you know, I can learn from you and you can learn from me. That's it.
True. You come out with a degree and you still feel like you know nothing. Not to put you off or anything, but it's not 7 years for no reason. There's a lot to learn. And
just have
to understand that it's a journey. And so, yeah, this podcast, we're going to learn as much as you in the process, because some things you don't even see until you reflect on your experiences or become introspective. And yeah, we're also having guests. I can't, just the research into my own country, I had never done that before this podcast. So I'm getting as much out of it as you listening will do as well. And it's just a beautiful thing to be able to just voice your opinions, your interests, and highlight any issues, and also have people respond to that. It's not a one-way thing. This is a conversation. And yeah, we hope that you will, listeners will just be part of the discussion and be interactive with us.
We want you guys to join the discussion, like, literally whatever you guys want to talk about, like, feel free to message us and
don't be scared.
We're
a big family, very welcoming girls. We are looking for new friends so we can ditch the old ones. joking.
Thank you guys for listening. Today has been a movie. I think this has been like such a good start to the podcast. We're all in like high spirits. I think it's been a long ride, but we got there in the end. This is definitely not the first take. Thank you so much for listening. Next week, we have a very important episode, which is going to be hosted by the very beautiful Naomi. We're talking about what we knew before starting architecture school. As usual, it's always good vibes. So we want you to stay up to date on the social media. Keep your ears peeled for the next
episode.
All of our social media is at 1 to 100. So that's number one, TO, number 100, and then podcast. Email us 1to100@gmail.com. So we want to hear, like, as Basma was saying, all of your suggestions, how we can tailor our content for you. But yeah, no, thank you so much for listening.
See you later.
And we'll see you later.
Bye, everyone. Bye. Stay safe and stay architecture.
Hey, architecture.
Stay architecture.
1 to 100.
1, 2, 3, everyone say hello with me. 1, 2, 3, hello.
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 Let's do it again. Everybody say hello in 1, 2, 3. Wait, 3, 2, 1.
Hello. Hello. 1 to 100.
Stay cool and stay safe, kids. A big kiss from your
big sis. Love, everyone. Peace out. H-style.